Yes, indeed, that catchy theme song means only one thing. You have stumbled aimlessly into the Steam Room, the podcast which features Charles Barkley. I'm Ernie Johnson. Man, what a great Christmas and holiday season it is right now.
And the words of my boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
And that would be because we work tonight on Tuesday, the 20th of December, and then are back on Thursday, January 5th.
That is 2 weeks of sunshine in the desert.
Chucks are out there hitting the little ball out there on those lush fairways.
I checked the weather too. 70 every day for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
I'm ready for it too, brother.
Hey, before you launch into your first of all,
yes.
as you always do, and I see that you have your sheet ready with stuff.
Yes.
Does the name Harry Myrie ring a bell for you?
Yes.
How so?
Didn't he beat us for the best podcast? And we bought some drums and stuff for his kids?
As a matter of fact, Chuckster, great recall on your part. And if you somehow are saying, hold it, who is this Harry Myrie you speak of? Here's a little clip to refresh everybody's memory.
Chuck and Ernie, my dudes, it's Harry, loyal steamer Harry, as I'm known among my people. Look, man, congrats to you and the entire Steam Room team on your Webby Award nomination. I got nominated too, separate category, no competition. But I made a video about my dreams coming true, playing drums, touring all these NBA arenas, and the fact that I'm even eligible for a thing that can be won by Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson. It just makes me so insanely grateful that I decided I'm going to donate 50 drum sets to 50 schools across the 50 United States if I win. Because that's how I got my start. There's a school in Alabama that had a donated drum set. Do it for the kids, man. And keep those towels on, fellas.
You remember how you responded, Chuck?
I said, I'm going to match his drum sets.
I tell you what, Harry, if you win, I'll donate 50 drum sets too. So that'll make it an even 100.
And you'll never guess who's joining us, Chuck.
Are you serious?
Hello, dudes.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
The musk is strong in the steam room, man. It's just like I imagined it.
I can't wait to get them drums, brother. Congratulations.
Rock and roll. Thank you, man.
That was an awesome moment from our history here on the Steam Room. And you know who happens to be here inside the studio with us today?
In the studio.
Yeah.
And he on the Steam Room or in the studio. What's up?
We record this,
what
this
up,
Steam
brother?
Room here in a
Welcome,
studio.
Right. Welcome.
Oh, it's extra steamy in here, y'all.
keep your towel on, as you know the rules.
Look, I'm in the entertainment business. I was trained to be ashamed of my body. I will keep my towel on.
Trust me, I'm at that stage of my life too.
It is great to see you because the clip we showed. Obviously, we were doing the show remotely at that point, doing the pod that way, and now. This whole dream you had, and I applaud you for it too, of donating the 50 and then Chuckster matching it. So have 100 drum kits been distributed?
99 have been distributed.
What's the other one?
I sense it nearby. It feels a little steamy to me. I can tell it's close.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Georgia, yeah.
You know what's crazy? You know how kids, we're stupid. I went through my drum stage.
And was this kind of like your football stage also?
That was dangerous that one day. Okay. I played football. That was a bad day. But I actually got a drum set. I remember what age. And I played drums every day for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I tested drums.
Because you got no rhythm, man.
I don't. But like for some reason, I felt like I must have been watching some TV show. And I told my mother and grandmother, I want drums. And they pieced it together and got me some drums. And I played, for some reason, I went through a stage where I played drums like every day for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I never touched another drum.
And when was this?
I think I was 12 or 13. I can't remember the exact time.
It
was
Dude, it's like riding a bike. You can get right back on
that. Yeah, okay.
I saw you ride a bike a couple of weeks ago. It'll be just like that.
Hey, so what's changed in your life since the pandemic?
Every musician on the planet will tell you this. First of all, not going on stage for a year and a half, the second you get back on there, you go, how did I ever complain about being in Sheboygan and the water was lukewarm and the beef was undercooked? It's like, now I'm like, undercooked beef in Sheboygan? Thank you. Thank you, God.
Yeah. Sign me up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be because, like, when I've had an injury, there's the only thing I can compare it to, and you're out, like, 6 weeks. And you're like just sitting there watching the game. And you're like, this sucks just sitting there watching the game. And then when you come back, it's like, this is the greatest thing ever. So it's got to be the same feeling.
I will say, I don't know if this is emotionally healthy of me to say, but at least all of us were sidelined.
Yes.
You know, that would have been torturous seeing all these other drummers out there just sweating on the people. And I go, oh, but that's my purpose on earth, yeah. You know? So, but I will also say, I think these Webby shenanigans and this charity stuff we're doing, I think all of that also came about from getting a chance to stop and say, wow, what if my life didn't revolve around me all the time? And I did notice in the pandemic, I felt so lucky. That was a lot of suffering for a lot of people. But I felt so lucky that I could eat, put a roof over my head. And I know not everybody felt that way for that couple of years. And so I feel that one of the main feelings I felt from doing 100 of these with you is that I want to do 100 more.
Yeah,
I can see how much of an impact that has. And I go, man, this is like, I'm more obsessed with this than I am with playing.
Yeah,
now, I think.
Give us an idea of what that, of when you show up at a school and you donate the kit and what kind of reactions you're getting.
This was so fun. This is kind of a 2-year project. Yeah. You know? So when I started and this whole insanity happened, I didn't think I was going to win. I'm probably disappointed too. It cost you 50 drum sets.
And no, I'm glad you won.
Thank you, man. Yeah. That's when it really caught on, you know, like when it became a dual shenanigan between the two of us, then people really got interested. I started by just opening a form on my website. I go, anybody who wants a drum set, just fill out this thing. And it was so overwhelming between me and the one guy that works for me that we ended up roping in a charity called Music Will. They used to be called Little Kids Rock. This is their specialty, like a godsend. They just put instruments into music schools in need. They also helped me. I went on tour this year with Hardy, and all year we'd play Los Angeles. I'd get there a day early. I'd go to a school in Los Angeles and we'd unveil the drum sets. And I could see with my own eyes, kids that were used to, they showed me this little corner of the school called the beach in Los Angeles. And hey, this is where kids go to skip class and smoke and do shenanigans they're not supposed to be doing. And I go, well, they showed me the beach. It was empty. I go, well, where is everybody? They go, check this out. They take me into the music room and everybody was circled around the drums like it was a game of dice.
Yeah.
They're doing beats for each other and stuff and go, oh, and like taking turns and showing each other beats. I go like, dude, it brought everybody into school.
Yeah.
That was so moving. And I was so grateful to both of y'all that we made all that happen.
You know, what's cool too. Look, this guy's played the Garden. You're going to be playing Wrigley.
Wow.
You're going to be playing Fenway. Okay, this is pinch yourself stuff, right?
I never even imagined wheeling my drums into Fenway Park. I went to college in Boston. My apartment was right next door. I'd wait till the fourth inning, go into standing room for, you know, $10 or something and watch the Red Sox. And that was pinch yourself, seeing the Red Sox in Fenway in a building that old and magical.
Yeah.
I've seen concerts there too. I never imagined wheeling my drums in there. In playing. I can't believe we're doing that for two nights.
You know what's amazing? Some of the calls we get from people like yourself, and some, we had a soldier who said he had PTSD. He says, I just want to thank you guys for making me laugh. This one lady had lost her job. And when we get one of those calls, it is so heartwarming. I'm just like, man, this one, like you said, I can't wait to get to the next podcast. Because, like I said, and what's really crazy, I've never listened to a podcast in my entire life. This is our
Fourth.
This is our fourth year, and I've still never listened to a podcast. And I've been on 100, not just mine. I've been on everybody else's. But it's turned into one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. And thanks to people like you who are using it in a positive way. But when we get one of these calls from somebody just saying, well, this teacher from New York City, he says, oh, I have incorporated you guys into my teachings. And the kids, blah, blah, blah. I said, first of all, your kids should be in the bed. They should have watched us at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. You make sure they make straight A's. But this has been one of the most cool things I've ever did in my life. So you're 100% correct.
We are going to have Harry on the drums through the rest of the show. Playing us in and out of breaks here with the steam room theme song.
But
this is the drum kit back here.
I found the 100th drum set, Chuck. There it is.
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, that's pretty cool. Somebody put the steam room on there.
Yeah, how about that?
And not to mention my Auburn colors, too. Oh, but that's just me thinking. What a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
This is awesome, man. It's great to be able to look at you face to face.
Thanks for inspiring us.
Yeah,
though.
And it was just, you know, for you
and
to for
inspiring
you to,
the kids too.
For you to reach out, for Cap to hear the call and say, "Hey, let's put that on the steam room."
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks call the answering machine, but this was just a great initiative,
won.
Man.
I'm
yeah.
glad because to help you a little bit. Because if you hadn't won, I mean, first of all, we should have did it anyway. But I'm glad you won, and let us know what a Webby is.
A heavy, expensive piece of metal.
Yeah.
That we turned into good. No, if I had lost, I would have gone into schools and stolen their drum sets. So the win was essential. I have to say thank you to Cap upstairs. Thank you to both of you. It's the tone. Y'all are trying to put it on me, but it's the tone that both of y'all set. Everything. Y'all have so many eyeballs on you, and you always say, "I have enough. How can I make everybody else benefit from the attention that I get?" And y'all have set that tone. I've been watching you on television forever, and even before then, watching you play basketball. Yeah. And like that is just ingrained in my blood, that charitable tone that y'all set. So thank you.
Thank you, brother.
No, it's right our thank pleasure, you. Man. It's yeah. our pleasure. Chuckster is going to do his first of all here. If you want to take your position, and we'll be hearing from you during the rest of the podcast. And give us an idea. Harry, just give folks an idea. Folks you have played with and bands you have played with around the country.
I'm so lucky. I'm touring right now with Michael Hardy. Everybody calls him Hardy. He's like an absolutely legendary songwriter in the country music world. You just name a bunch of random, anything you turn on the radio, one in every five songs was written by Hardy. He thought he was going to do that his whole life. But these publishers started going, what if we give him a record deal? And now we're out playing these crazy places singing his songs. It's unbelievable. He's kind of a metalhead, which is, I like playing loud. And so I've played with Hardy over the years, played with Lindsay L and Low Cash, and had the privilege of playing on a Keith Urban thing. I hope it comes out one day. The list goes on. But this is what I do all
this
year.
This is tremendous. Yeah.
How many days you work a week?
It feels like seven. It's so funny. On stage is when I go, oh, I'm on the golf course.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Everything else around it, putting together the show, and the traveling. You know, the traveling's easy for me. We sleep on tour buses. We fly a lot now at reasonable times and stuff, and there's so many people working with us that I'm not lugging drums through broken glass alleyways anymore for $50 a night. Now I get $51 a night.
But what's the rush like? How do you, for somebody, because I know a lot of athletes want to be musicians.
Yes.
You know, and what's the rush like in a packed arena when you're doing your thing?
I think about that all the time, the other way around. I always think about musicianship like athletics. And even the gigging world is kind of like, you think of it like being in the league. Somebody gets a big gig, you go, oh man, he just got traded to the Warriors. He's not even that good. He's about to get a title.
Yeah.
So I think of the rush that way, and we play in many of the same buildings. Yeah. You know, we play in these arenas. All I could think about when we played Madison Square Garden was like all the amazing basketball that happened in there in the 90s, you know, just looking around at the ceiling like, oh, this is where it happened. But whether I go on stage or not, I noticed this last night in my hotel room at 11 p.m. or so, my body knows the lights are about to go down or we're about to go Olympian. And so I'll be laying in bed trying to go to sleep, and I'm like,
that's funny.
Yeah, it is my favorite feeling in my life, though, is just twitching a little bit this way and feeling 20,000 people go boom.
That's awesome. That's a great description.
I'll never know what a slam dunk feels like, so that's just what I hope or imagine it feels like. Just,
that's no being good at something and having people appreciate it and cheer for it. There's no better feeling. Period.
All right, you take your spot. And while you make your way over there, I hope you're entertained by Chuck's first of all for this week.
I got some good ones today.
Oh, good. Way to change it up.
Okay. You're a funny guy. Regular old jerk Benny. Okay, first of all, I'm going to start with a couple of condolences. I never met this guy, but I was a fan from the CNN family, Drew Griffin. I saw he passed away. Like I say, I always try to support our family and networks. I never met this guy before, but he was obviously very talented.
Investigative reporter.
Yes. He asked some tough questions. I was looking at a retrospective of some of the, he was out there going at some people pretty hard, but I just want to give my condolences to Drew Griffin's family, because death always sucks. It sucks even more during the holidays. And secondly, Louis Orr. Louis Orr was a basketball coach, NBA player for 8 years, I think. One of the nicest people, good player, played for the Knicks. He passed away this week. You know, anytime we lose somebody in the NBA family, it's traumatic, especially when, you know, he was a young guy, too. So I want to give Louis Orr, his family, my condolences and thoughts, man, because it's just really tough times. But he's just a really good player, nice guy, and just wish his family the best through the holidays.
It's tough. You know, Chuckster, we're at that age.
Yeah.
You and I, where it's like on a weekly basis.
It sucks.
Somebody you know, a colleague, you know, it's, that's tough.
Getting old. It's good to get old, but it's not fun all the time.
No.
I want to thank everybody for the nice ALS emails I've been getting. Obviously, because of my good friend, Gary Godfrey, and his wife, Carol, I donated some money to ALS Research in Alabama. You know, we did the Carrie and Gary Challenge for Carrie Good at Alabama and Auburn for Gary Godfrey. And I made a donation to Gary in the name of Gary. I'm doing it for ALS Research. And, man, I got some really great emails from people saying my wife or my husband had it. So thank you for the emails. We're not going to let people, because they said nobody ever talks about ALS. But I promise you, in honor of my man Gary, who him and his wife have been battling for a long time, I'm going to keep doing stuff for ALS because it's a great, great cause.
Good on you.
Yes. Soccer.
World Cup.
I know absolutely nothing about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But.
You've made that abundantly clear.
But I did something I'd never done in my life before.
I'm gonna guess what that is.
I watched an entire soccer game.
Yeah.
And it turned into the most exciting sports event I might have ever seen. That thing between Argentina and France, Messi and Mbappe,
mm-hmm.
that was some of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I text my boy Taylor Twelman, and I says, yo, because you remember last year, the Buffalo Bills Kansas City game, I says, I think I just saw the greatest sporting event I've ever seen.
Did this eclipse that?
I think it did.
Wow.
I think it did. And I listened to most of the announcers say this probably was the best sporting event, best World Cup soccer final. I said, I can only compare it to the night I saw LeBron score 30 straight points against the Pistons.
People bring up New England's comeback in the Super Bowl over the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I don't bring that one up because I bet on the Falcons.
Yeah, I know.
I don't bring that one up.
I know.
Thank you,
You're
guys.
Still paying that one off, aren't you?
Yeah, still paying that one off. The Kansas City game last year between them and the Bills, that was the most incredible. Oh, what a kick six in there, too. I was at the kick six game down at Auburn. But, man. Like I say, I'm not a soccer fan. I don't want to be one of these jackasses on television who get on TV all the time, act like he knows everything about every sport. I know about basketball, and that's it. But, man, I just want to give a shout-out to the to Messi, Mbappe, World Cup fans. That was one of the most exciting things that I've ever seen. And I'm going to – two more things. Man, Devin Booker. I happen to be watching – I was at a sports bar Saturday.
You, really?
Yeah. A judge asked this guy why he robbed a bank. He said, that's where they keep the money. I was at a sports bar because that's where they keep the alcohol. So, and I needed two
TVs. And the TVs.
And the TVs. So I'm watching the Suns over here, and I'm watching the Bills Miami over here, which was too fabulous. I kind of gave up on my son because they were down 20 the whole game. They were down 20 at halftime. I'm like, you can't call somebody out for dunking then come home and get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And they were complaining about Zion dunking the ball. So they're down 20. And then Devin Booker happened. 58. And I want people, man, if you – I love our job. I get paid to watch the best players in the world, and Devin Booker put on a show.
And – He tried to nail it at the end, too, after Zion had dunked when the game was out of hand in New Orleans the other day, and Booker launched a three at the horn of this game, too, with the game no longer in doubt.
No, and Joker.
Oh, yeah.
I got to mention the Joker.
27 boards. And the 40 points.
And the 12 assists. That's pretty good.
It's okay.
Listen, man, we got to stop this guy because we never show the Nuggets a lot. Oh, no, we don't.
We're going to tonight as we record this on this day. We got Memphis and Denver as our nightcap, which is going to be great.
We got 40, 25, 27.
27.
And 12?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And it said two other people, Will Chamberlain and the great Elgin Baylor.
Yeah.
If you're on a list with those guys, that's impressive.
That would have been a good night to be playing that fantasy game we used to play in the studio when we had to pick a player.
That would be great, wouldn't it? I just want to give a shout out to those two guys, man, for making the NBA what it is today. Just amazing. And I'm going to finish up with Happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends out there. I went over to my daughter's house the other day. They were lighting the candles.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what y'all lighting the candles for? And they like, it's Hanukkah. I'm like, oh, thanks for sharing. So Happy Hanukkah to Christiana, Illy, and little Henry. So I think we're two or three days in now. So, man, I hope they're having a great Hanukkah. And to all my Jewish friends out there, Happy Hanukkah.
Very well said. That was a wide-ranging, comprehensive, first of all.
You know, best knowledge in this big old head.
Yes, it is a big old head. And so now we can head to break and we can hear the Steam Room theme song accompanied by Harry Myrie on the drums. Let's hear it.
Wow.
The holiday edition.
There you go.
Of the Steam Room continues right after this. Like that part, Chuck?
I'll tell you what,
I like,
man,
the whole thing.
I love the colors too, Demo, on the Auburn colors.
Harry Myrie and Charles Barkley donating 100 drum kits to schools around the United States. And this all coming as a result of a call that Harry made to the Steam Room a couple years ago, and you matching his gift of 50. So it's wonderful to kind of tie it all together here at this time of giving.
Well, you know, Christmas, man, it's just for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about him, though, Harry, I think is impressive. You never know what's going to change your life.
Right.
You never know. You never know, like, there's probably other people who want to play the drums who suck at it. Like,
as you pointed out earlier,
I sucked at it. I said I had a little 3-week period when I got my drums.
Yeah, if you were really good at it, you probably would have kept it up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
There you go. That's why I'm
not
here.
Used to good points for you.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about this season. I mean, I'm coming off a great weekend, Chuckster. I mean, I went, Brickmont Senior Living, where my 94-year-old mother lives.
Saint lady. She's a saint.
She's great. And we had all the family, went over there. Shout out Brickmont. Shout out to April Ridings, our friend over there. Gave us a room, had all the family in there. Kind of had an early Christmas where everybody could get together. Sunday, we go down to the Botanical Gardens with the entire family again to see the lights down there that they've set up, which is just amazing. Yesterday, everybody gets together doing the big holiday baking thing, all the Christmas cookies and all that stuff. So I've brought all that stuff in that Cheryl Ann made again for tonight, by the way. The haystacks.
Oh, yeah.
Your mouth starts watering.
Yeah, I like that. The haystacks are unbelievable.
But I point all of this out to bring on our next guest, because it's, look, honestly, for a lot of folks, this is one of the toughest times of year. It really is. You know, that a lot of folks are really into the whole holiday spirit and Christmas spirit and Hanukkah, as you brought out. But for other folks, it's a real difficult time. And so we wanted to reach out to Liz Beecroft, who is a licensed clinical social worker. She's based in New York. Because we've had calls on this show before of folks who, life's tough.
Yeah.
And I'm, Liz, we take great pride in having you on here and in giving us some of your time and your expertise here, because we know there are folks listening right now for whom the holiday spirit is, it's tough. So I could imagine that around this time of year, you are faced with, trying to tell folks how they can get through a time like this. Tell me how that all works.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard. Like you said, there's these pressures to be social, to be happy, to be present, especially this time of year. But, you know, this time of year can bring on a lot of emotions for people. It can, one, be just very stressful for everyone involved. But, you know, when you're also someone who might be experiencing grief or loss or trauma, you know, that can also come up more prominently around this time of year as well. Feeling the stress to participate in social activities or family traditions, or, you know, even the idea of feeling isolated or lonely due to different relationship challenges that we might have. There's so many, you know, different reasons that the holidays can be really stressful for some people. And there's a lot to unpack here. But, you know, I think, like the media often says, it's the most wonderful time of year. For a lot of people, it's not the most wonderful time of year.
So what's the best way? Okay. Number one, there's grief if somebody's lost a loved one. What's the best way to deal with that aspect of, I mean, that's, it obviously is different for everybody, but what would be your recommendation, the best way to handle grief?
Yeah, I think, you know, really leaning into your support system, if that's something you're experiencing, and also, you know, tapping into yourself and trying to, you know, figure out, do you want to celebrate the holidays this year? You don't have to celebrate if that's not something you're feeling up for. But also, you know, taking a step back and maybe making that assessment that traditions might look a little different this year. If, you know, a loved one has passed, or, you know, a prominent figure in someone's life is no longer a part of those holiday traditions and celebrations. And I think, you know, being able to, you know, have that awareness and understanding can be helpful, but at the same time, not putting any pressure on yourself to, you know, really engage if you're just not feeling up for it.
How do you, and forgive me for, you know, my lack of knowledge on this thing, but how would you differentiate between feeling sadness and being depressed?
Well, you know, when it comes to sadness, that's a feeling that is a normal feeling for every person to feel at some point in their life. But depression is an actual clinical diagnosis where there are different criteria that we have to meet in order to be clinically depressed. So to be, you know, depressed, someone might have, you know, frequent bouts of sadness or hopelessness, irritability, a change in appetite that can be weight gain or weight loss associated with that, sleep disturbance, having a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep, loss of energy, loss of interest in activities that you might have previously found enjoyable, having a hard time concentrating, and, you know, more severe symptoms such as thoughts of death or thoughts of suicide.
So, you know, I'm so fascinated by your answer, because we've seen some prominent people take their lives. So, and we all say, I don't know if I'll ever be in that situation. So how do you differentiate between depression, or I always say, man, bad shit's gonna happen. I mean, because no matter who you are, whatever it is, bad shit happens all the time. So how do you go from, okay, bad shit happened, I got to figure it out, or I got depression? How, like, to me, that's such a slippery slope.
Yeah. I think it really, you know, depends on the individual, right? Like, each person might handle that exact same bad situation very differently. And that is because of a culmination of all your past experiences and the skills that we may or may not have to kind of navigate certain situations in life. And so, you know, it's actually interesting. I had been on Shaq's podcast a couple months ago to talk about something similar, where, you know, it was the idea between like mental fortitude or like a mental diagnosis, like mental illness. And like, you know, they both kind of go hand in hand. When you don't have those skills to have the mental fortitude to be able to push through, they also, that also plays into mental illness. Like if you're, you are more susceptible to maybe developing a serious clinical diagnosis of depression or anxiety or, you know, something else in that realm, if you don't have those skills. And we might not have those skills for a variety of reasons, whether we just never learn them, whether there's a chemical imbalance that we're not able to utilize those skills, whether, you know, we're not at that point in our lives where, you know, certain events we're able to just navigate and work through. And I think when it comes to that, you're absolutely right. It is a slippery slope. How do we differentiate? And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's trying to really being able to having support, but also being able to explain when we might need support as well, because support looks different for so many people. And it's really kind of tapping into ourselves, looking inward and saying, well, what ways do I like to receive support? What ways do I need support right now? And how can I communicate that and ask for help if I need it?
Do you feel like folks are more forthcoming now that maybe, you know, for a long time, I think there was a stigma attached to, you know, seeking treatment or seeking help or just admitting that, yeah, I do need somebody to listen to this and somebody to try to help me through it. But it seems like in recent years, especially with more high profile folks saying, look, I've got some mental stuff I'm dealing with, that it's that folks are more forthcoming.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think too, like it's the idea of like being able to explain how you need support or speaking up when you might need support. But then on the reverse side of that, it's also how do we support people? You know, when you see prominent people, you know, struggling with mental health and tragic things happening, there's often this narrative that goes around of like, check in on your friends, be there for your people. And at the same time, like, checking in on your friends is more than just sending a text message with some emoji hearts. Like it's really listening, active listening, offering to take some things off their plate, like just not trying to pressure them or, you know, not be judgmental in that moment because their experiences in life are so different than our own, and being able to be that person that they need in that moment, not the person that we think they need.
Growing up poor in Alabama, you didn't know you were poor. You know, my mother and grandmother were amazing, but we grew up poor, me and all my brothers, and we tried to piece together a Christmas. What's your best advice for a parent who might not be financially well enough to give? Because you see that's the one thing that sucks about Christmas. When you talk about the season of giving, it's not the season of giving for everybody. What's your advice to a parent who's like, I can only give love or just try to piece together and not feel guilty?
I think, you know, reframing the idea of what it means to give, like giving monetary things is not the only way that we can show up for other people, especially around the holidays. And that is a very valid and genuine concern. And especially right now, like the economy is in a really not great place for a lot of people. And I think, you know, being able to have those transparent conversations with family members, with friends, but also, you know, giving what we can give, if that is love, if that is, you know, lower cost items such as like a framed photo or just time together. Quality time can make such an impact in someone's life over any materialistic item.
Liz Beecroft, thank you so much.
Wait, can I say one more thing?
You may.
Liz, I just want to say this. I let it go because we were having a serious conversation. You didn't do your job with Shaq. I mean, he's not fixed. If you're supposed to be working with him, he need to come back and get a second opinion.
Chuck, I'm just going to say that might take months, years. I loved it. But yeah, he could always call me up whenever. We'll have those conversations.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thanks a bunch.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah. And we hope that
that was some good stuff.
Yeah. There was some really good stuff.
Because everybody's not in the same boat. You know, we talked earlier when I was talking about Drew Griffin and Louis Orr, like, it's got to suck to lose a loved one during the holidays. I mean, especially like, If they're older, it's different. But to lose a father, a husband, a brother, sister, or kid during the holidays, it's brutal.
And it's, you know, and I'll say this too, Chuck, because like when we lost Michael at 33,
yeah,
that happened at the end of October of last year. And so like the holidays last year were just a blur. And now we're into another Christmas season here, and now we're all together. There, you know, we were kind of separated by COVID last year too, yeah. and couldn't all get together. And it's, there are just those moments, man, when it hits you.
Yeah.
There's no way of just like thinking that time is going to take over and it's all going to be fine. And eventually maybe that is, but there are moments in the course of these holiday celebrations that you just get crushed.
Yeah.
And so, and I know there are other folks out there going through the same kind of thing. And,
that's why I'm glad we had her on.
That's me too. Yeah. And I just think there's a lot of value in what Liz had to say. We are continuing with the steam room here. We have got Harry Myrie on the drums, and we're going to break with some more magic. Seen Harry's face as he was playing and heard the vocal version of that.
Harry.
Yeah, dude.
What's those things you're playing? What's the things you're hitting the drums with?
Yeah, these are brushes. I had to go to Fork's drum closet and go, hey, dude, I'm going on this podcast. Can you give me the quietest playing implements you have? And dude, I play so loud. No one that's ever met me can hear
anymore. So they're called brushes?
These are brushes, man. Okay. You can clean your teeth with them or your horse, or you can...
It's a great sound. Yeah. That's a great sound.
Yeah, that's like 1920s jazz.
I can't believe they can make that noise.
Yeah, it's great.
That's impressive.
You know, Harry and I once did a duet. You know that?
Yo, the Milli Vanilli. You the Milli Vanilli?
Back when he was a guest and we were doing it remotely. And this is difficult to do, to do a duet remotely.
Wait, you did not? Wait.
Where I'm in my basement in Braselton, he's in Nashville, and this was the result. How about that action? How about that action, Chuckster?
You just beating that thing, Ernie.
I know, I was hitting the bongo.
Okay, nice try. That was
more rhythm than you. you have to admit.
I don't have a lot of rhythm.
Okay, very good.
You don't have to have rhythm to play basketball.
No, you don't.
Okay.
What do you say we do some answering
machine
action?
Yes, let's do it.
Spin it.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Ernie. This is Nell calling from the mean streets of Milwaukee.
Hey!
With the holidays fast approaching, I'm curious. What was the best Christmas gift you received as a kid and the best Christmas gift you received as an adult? Happy holidays.
Ooh, one of the best things I got when I was a kid was in Milwaukee. And there was this thing called Tiger Joe. It was a tank. A battery-operated tank that would run over like pillows and stuff. It was like no matter what you put in the way, it would go over. So Tiger Joe was it for me as a kid.
Clearly, I liked the drums for 3 weeks.
Was that a Christmas gift?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, probably a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know a bike is the greatest thing ever. I love bikes. When you get a nice bike.
When's the last time you rode a bike?
Oh, I actually ride a bike all the time. I have a bike now that helps me with my weight loss.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you were just hanging your clothes on that thing.
Oh, no, that's the Stairmaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the Stairmaster.
Are you doing the Peloton?
No, I got an outdoor bike.
Oh, really?
With the big fat wheels.
So, hold it. So, you are out, where are you doing this, Phoenix?
Yes.
Do you have it in Atlanta?
No.
I'd like to see it.
The weather in Atlanta is a coin flip every week. I'm not buying a bike here.
Okay.
It's been freezing.
So you're just out there in the desert going around with your...
riding the bike.
On your bike with the knobby wheels and all.
Really, with the big fat wheels.
Yeah, knobby tires.
Is that what they call?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just call them fat bike.
Of course.
Oh, and just for the record today, I just get draws, socks, and ties.
That's obviously somebody who doesn't know you very well is going to get
you
draws.
That's what I used to. Yeah, I quit wearing draws like 25 years ago. But now I always get watches because, you know, people know I collect watches.
Right.
I got like, you can never go wrong getting me a watch because I got like 120 watches. I love watches. But that's it. You get me a nice watch, I'm good.
Okay. Next call.
Chuck, Ernie, TK, Johnny here from South Texas. I listen to y'all's podcast every single week. I love it. Out there mowing yards, and I can't get enough of it. I replay them every week until the next one comes out. Absolutely love y'all, first of all, I wanted to ask you guys a couple things. Chuck, you said you only get one McRib when you go to McDonald's, but right now they got the 2 for $6 going on. You hopping on 2 McRibs? And Ernie, I got a question for you. As a big holiday man, big family man, Christmas time coming up, I got to ask you this. What is you and your family's favorite Christmas tradition? Love y'all. Listen to the podcast every week. Chuck, you be nice to TK, please. He is a nice man. He is legendary. Y'all have a good one, guys. God bless from South Texas.
Oh, man, he just had to run a great call with the TK stuff. Number one, you can never get more than one sandwich.
Okay.
You can't get that. You can't. That
seems strange coming from you. I don't think that's always been your philosophy. Has that always been your philosophy? No, it hasn't.
No, you can't get, first of all, the only time I ever cheated, is my pregame meal was 2 fish fillets and a large fry back in the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's the only time I got the debt.
How long was your career?
16 years.
So 16 years of eating 2 filet-o-fish sandwiches.
No, when I got older, I couldn't do that.
Okay.
But I went through probably a 5 to 7 year period where, first of all, tartar sauce is not quite.
First of all, tartar sauce. If there's ever been a phrase that describes a steam room, there it was.
I'm just saying, tartar sauce is not quite Heinz 57.
No, I'm not a big tartar sauce guy.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Tartar sauce, and the thing.
I'm a malt vinegar guy on some of that fish.
There's only two things you can eat tartar sauce on: fish fillets and fried shrimp. Mm-hmm. That's the only two times it's okay to eat tartar sauce.
I need the hot cocktail sauce on.
And you
shrimp.
Mix it with the cocktail sauce.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when it's a delicacy.
Okay. As far as Johnson family traditions, you know, obviously Cheryl Ann with the
cookies,
with the annual baking of the stuff for the crew.
Yes.
And It's a Wonderful Life. Got to watch It's a Wonderful Life. To my big brother George, the richest man in town. It's awesome. Have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I think I might have seen it back when I was like 12.
Yeah. Watch it again. It's good for you. It's good for the soul. Hey, you know what else is good for the soul?
What's
that? We got a guest. And it's not Harry. Harry's still here.
Yeah.
Can we bring in the guest? Oh, hey! Christiana!
Hey, little Henry. Look at little man.
Say hi.
Look at little Henry.
Look at the hair on little Henry.
Hey, Big Pop. Oh, my God.
He just woke up.
Okay. Hey, Big Pop here, Henry.
Christiana, what's up with the hair on this youngin? Look at that.
I know.
That's awesome.
We're going to start putting it into a ponytail because it's very long.
Don't do a man bun because, you know, Grandpa here is all does not like man buns.
Yeah, she was telling me, I told her, she cut his hair. They were talking about cutting his hair. I said, if you cut his hair, I'm going to take you out of the wheel. Look at my man, little man.
Oh, look at Henry.
Look at it. He hears my voice. Like, we'll be watching. I think he knows my voice in a Subway commercial. Christiana, are you drinking Diet Coke and pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm tired.
You're tired. That's because you're pregnant. You got two kids almost.
Hold it. That's news.
She's pregnant again.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Oh, she's like 4 months.
Wow, Christiana, congrats.
I'm actually 6 months.
I lost two months somewhere. She's 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
So little LFH are going to have...
Well, we didn't find out if Henry was a boy or a girl in advance. We wanted to do a surprise.
Good for you.
And we were planning on doing a surprise again, but just this morning I accidentally found out that we're having a girl.
Wow.
Henry will be a big brother to a little sister in April.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't happy that they kept it a secret the first time. They're like, they want to be a surprise. I said, you're pregnant. It can't be a surprise. She says, want to be a surprise. I said, you're pregnant. It's not a surprise.
Yeah. So, hey, Christiana, have you and you and your dad settled this difference you have over presents for little Henry?
He don't get no gifts. He's not even a year old. He's not getting any gifts. He's 1 year. He's not even one. He won't even notice. He won't even know the gifts.
Look at him. He thinks that's hilarious.
He's wearing Halloween pajamas that I had to buy on sale because my parents won't buy him any presents.
That's wow. See.
Come on, Chuckster.
He would be so. Like, he would be playing with the boxes instead of the gifts.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
But there have to be gifts in there.
First Christmas.
I'm not even sure he's going to get some at two.
Christiana, I'm on your side, by the way.
Thank you, Ernie.
Look at my little man.
He does love boxes and stuff like that. He has a really short attention span. I mean, he's only 9 months old.
Apple doesn't fall far from the Charles tree, that's for sure.
So you had a great checkup today?
Well, I didn't even go in. I just was looking around my portal, and it said female, baby. So...
Oh, I'm going to have a little granddaughter now. Wow. What a great Christmas gift.
You are going to continue to melt.
So that's your Christmas present.
Yes, and I got a grandson. It's going to be my best Christmas ever. Look at my little man.
Christiana... Thank you for making the time. Thanks for waking little Henry up to be with us.
Bye, little man. Big Papa, see you soon.
Bye. Say bye, Henry. Say see you tomorrow.
Look at my little man. Look at him.
Have fun, guys.
Bye-bye.
Later. Love you.
That's bye. Awesome.
How about that action?
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah, that's great.
She sends me a text during the show. Says, made a mistake. Found out I'm having a girl. Oops. I was like, okay.
Another little bit of news here, Chuckster.
Okay.
And we should, look, appreciate your generosity because you've made $1 million donations to both Jackson State and Bethune-Cookman, correct?
Yes.
HBCUs. And previously, you had given to Alabama A&M, Clark Atlanta, Morehouse, Miles, Tuskegee, and Spelman.
Yes.
So good on you. That's awesome. And you know Reggie Theus.
Yes.
Yes.
And half man, half makeup. Yeah, the best looking man ever been on television other than Rick Fox.
Yeah, both guys who look worse when makeup is applied.
Yes.
So Reggie's the head coach and the AD at Bethune-Cookman, and he's got a message for you.
On behalf of BCU Volleyball,
Bethune-Cookman Softball, BCU Track and Field,
the Bethune-Cookman Women's Basketball Team,
the BCU Baseball Program,
thank you, Ernie and Charles, for all that you do.
And for supporting us at the great Bethune-Cookman University.
Hail Wildcats!
Hey, and on a personal note, guys, I just want to thank you so much for all that you do. Ernie, thank you so much for carrying me all those years on TNT. We all know that you're the real superstar on TNT show. And Chuck, thank you so much for your gift to BCU Athletics. It's going to help us in our trajectory to a championship culture at BCU. We just want to say from the basketball program and all BCU Athletics,
thank you, Ernie, for all that you do. Hail Wildcats!
Hey, you know,
that's tremendous.
Reggie, number one, man, I'm so lucky and blessed. I'm really glad to help these HBCUs out, and shout out to the ALS people in Alabama. I can't wait to do more with them. But man, we're lucky, Ernie. Like you always said, we get to.
Yes, indeed.
We got a get to job. I get to watch the best basketball players in the world. You know, I think a lot about as, man, I'll be 60.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'll be 60 in a couple months. Been I can't there, believe that. I'll be 60. So, man, shout out to those HBCUs. And I'm going to keep doing as much as I can.
Yeah. Hey, the crew also has a gift for you. How about this?
Uh-oh. I hear ticking. Uh-oh.
It's the movie you have still not watched.
Hey.
Whiplash.
I will tell you this. I'm going to watch this because two of my favorite people, I've never met. J.K. Simmons, I met him one day.
Right.
I was in awe because he's such a great actor. I still haven't met Miles Teller yet.
Yeah, we need to do that too.
I need to meet Miles. First of all, he's been close in minute, and I didn't want to bug him, but I didn't want to bother him at Tahoe. But I've been close to him, but I've never had a chance to say hello and tell him how great he is. But man, I can't. I'm going to watch this. Like, this is going to be a new tradition.
A new tradition?
Yeah, it's going to be a new tradition. I'm going to watch Whiplash right before the holidays.
It's really not a Christmas
movie.
Oh,
wait. We got a gift for Ernest.
Oh, no. What's...
Merry Christmas, Steam Room. We hope you like your cookies.
Don't eat them up, Uncle Chuck. And keep your towel on.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Awesome. That's awesome. Tremendous.
That's a great little family tradition, doing all the cooking.
Oh, yeah. We had all the grandkids over there yesterday, had neighbors over there. We had, it was awesome. And then they kept telling me, don't you need to go do something? And then had Ray, our neighbor, say, we need to go down to the basement because they need to do something. And they wouldn't tell me what it was. But
that's
funny.
That's cute. But man, your grandkids are awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait for number two to get here.
You're going
to
have a little granddaughter.
I know.
Oh, Chuckster. That's tremendous.
I love the fact she found out by accident. That's funny.
All right. Cap, are we wrapping up the podcast in this fashion right here?
This has been amazing today.
It is one of your favorite things.
Yeah.
Karaoke. We've got Harry Myrie on the drums. We've got some music for you. It's going to take a second, so folks who are listening, if you want to turn it off, hit the pause button, do whatever, you're about to hear the Chuckster karaoke.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
You familiar with the tune?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days. Faithful friends who are dear. Highest bowl and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
That's probably enough.
I need a Grammy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get nominated for a Grammy or something.
That was awe-inspiring, I think would be the only way to say it. And there we go. That's more like it. That's more like it. That's the steam room, this holiday edition. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all of you loyal steamers out there. And special thanks, Harry Myrie, for what you did for kids around the country, donating those drum kits to schools, and for hanging with us today.